Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dadi. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dadi. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dadi Vallabha Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Bhujana Bhakti Charanada Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Srimad Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Dai Gaur Premanandi. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, text number 35. Bhartu purushtad atmanam Stri saharsha vritam tada Nishamya tad yoga gatim samshayam pratyabhadyata bhartu purushtadatmanam stri sahasra vritam tada nishamya tad yogad gatim samshayam pratyapadyata bhartu purushtadatmanam stri sahasra vritam tada nishamya tad yogad gatim shamshayam pratyapadyata bhartu Bhartu Purushtaratmanam Sri Sahasra Vritam Tada Nishamya Tad Yoga Gatim Samshayam Pratyapadyata Bhartu Purushtaratmanam Sri Sahasra Vritam Tada Nishamya Tad Yoga Gatim Samshayam Pratyapadyata Bhartu Purushtaratmanam Sri Sahasra Vritam Tada Shamyaga Ugagatim Samshayam Pratyapadyata Bhartu Purushtadatmanam Sri Sahasra Vritam Tada Nishamya Tad Yogagatim Samshayam Pratyapadyata. Word for word. Bhartu, of her husband, Purushtat, in the presence, Atmanam, herself, Stri Sahasra, by 1,000 maids, Britam, surrounded, Tada, then, Nishamya, seeing, Tut, his, Yogagatim, yogic power, Samshayam Pratyapadyata. She was amazed. Translation. She was amazed to find herself surrounded by 1,000 maids in the presence of her husband and to witness his yogic power. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti saw everything miraculously done, yet when brought before her husband, she could understand that it was all due to his great yogic mystic power. She understood that nothing was impossible for a yogi like Kardama Muni. O Meghanatamananda Shyaganandana Shalakaya. Chakshurun minitam yena tasmai shri guruve nama shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam namaste gididajaya shri govardhana namane ashesha klesha nashaya paramananda daine brindavani binde vishvapujita pushpasara nandani krishna jivani vishvapavani tulasi Vancha kapa trubas jaki basundu vieva cha patitanam pavanibhu vaishnavayam. I don't give Bhagavatam class often. It is by the mercy of all holidays on a work week that I get to come. So thank you for having me. And I do listen to the Bhagavatam classes at work. Don't tell anybody. But we've been going through this journey of Devahuti, and we've noticed, a number of the devotees have noticed, we have very short purports to work off of, but still we've been hearing some amazing classes on dental work, on intoxications, on certain things. And so today there's, again, little in the purport, but I thought I'll bring in a few things, a few different points of discussion. And so the first thing I wanted to talk about is this word amazement. She was amazed. And the word that Prabhupada translated as amazed in this verse is samshayam, which generally, most of his translations, he would say that is translated as doubt. There is a doubt. So it's not that, obviously, the word samshayam was used, but it's not that Devahuti doubted the power of her husband. So you could say the same thing in two different ways, that Kardama Muni made all of this happen. Or, with a doubt, you say, Kardama Muni made all this happen? So just by the inflection, we get a different feeling. But Srila Prabhupada has helped us by understanding this is actually Kardama Muni had made this all happen. So with great amazement, she is seeing that. And this word amazement is used in so many different contexts throughout the Bhagavatam, with the word samshayam, with the word chatmatkara, with the word vishmita, vimohana. These amazing incidences happen. So generally when we are amazed, so I want to look at just the word amazement for a moment. When we're amazed or when we're astonished by something, what is it in us that has amazed us? What is it that caused that? Any gander, yes, Michael.
Something that you've never witnessed before?
Never witnessed, yes.
That you couldn't do it yourself?
Something unbelievable. Unbelievable. In one word now, let's take those and put it into one word. Samshayam, very good. Ignorant. We are ignorant. We could say, sometimes we use the word very heavily that ignorance is terrible. You know, we don't want to be ignorant of anything. But it's because we don't know the action that caused this thing, whatever is astonishing. So just like you could say magicians are like that. Magicians can do things that, due to our ignorance, and it's called sleight of hand, so it's not even like real magic, it's just, sleight of hand. They're able to do things that astonish us, that can be astonishing, even with children. I mean, every dad is a magician for the first year or two of the child's life because, you can grab their nose and say you got their nose, and they believe it. When they're a little older, they don't believe it anymore. But then when you do the thumb trick, they believe it. They say, how did... And it's not that you did anything, but it was playing off of their ignorance. They're not understanding, that he's holding two thumbs here at the same time. And so we could bring that on up and up to real professional magicians, that they, and what is the code of magician? You never tell how the trick was done, because then they would give them away. But then it goes up higher. So we have on the earthly plane these magicians. But then with mystic perfections, the yoga mystics. They are also considered like magicians. So Kardama Muni is like that. He's displaying this power. But what is the power? It's due to, you know, perhaps Devahuti's not understanding, or a lay person like me not understanding how this could happen. But it's just a manipulation of the same material elements that makes it astonishing, for one. And in the eyes of Yogeshwara, that is nothing. You know, we see so many times in Krishna Leela when these great, and they're sometimes called as mystics or mystical magicians, or, you know, they do something, but it's nothing for Krishna. You know, he'll see Shalva's mystical, wonderful airplane. Krishna can crush it. See Trinavarta, a magic magician, he can do it, but Krishna can crush him. So again and again we see this, it is still all under the manipulation of whatever we're doing. It's either a deck of cards or the material energy to make a floating palace, or Krishna, who has all, not only all the material elements at his disposal, he also has all the spiritual elements at his disposal, so he can make things quite magical and mystical. So I brought a couple quotes of Srila Prabhupada on magic and on this. And it's something we can think about, how the magic has touched us as well. So this is an interview in New York in 1972. A reporter is asking, what can you cure? What can you make better? Because the discussion is how horrible life, you know, of course, this is, you know, just post hippie syndrome, hippie days, very dirty. As we were hearing of Devahuti's transformation, she was covered in dirt, and then this transformation happened. This is what she's amazed at. She saw everything miraculously done. It was miraculous in her eyes. How was this done? Prabhupada said, this is the cure. I am making good character. Don't you see their face? Some of them were hippies, frustrated, wretched condition. Now they are known as bright-faced, serious character. They don't have illicit sex. They don't eat meat. They don't have any intoxication. They don't indulge in gambling. If you allow people to indulge in sinful life, how can you expect good citizen? So oftentimes we would hear Prabhupada, you know, say, quote, he heard somebody say, oh, all your boys and girls, they are so bright-faced. And he was very proud of that, because he saw in the very beginning the very dirty condition of the Bowery and San Francisco, Haight Ashbury, you know, it was very dirty condition of people living practically on the streets. And Prabhupada made, you know, he turned them into bright-faced. Here's another one. This is from a lecture at a university in Calcutta in 1973. Even Christian priests, they are surprised. They are surprised. One priest in Boston, he issued a pamphlet saying, quote, these boys, there are boys from Christian and Jews. Before this movement, they did not care to come to churches even. Now, they are mad after God. They're admitting. Then he continues. They're admitting Swamiji is giving something tangible. Their fathers, they come to me. They bow down. They say, Swamiji, it is a great fortune that you have come to our country. So this one also he used to quote again and again when speaking to, you know, professional people or priests or, you know, anybody of stature, he would say, yes, look, these are our boys. These were our boys. This is, you know, they're expected to grow up and be, you know, a Floridian or a Bostonian or wherever you are, or Nepalian or anything. It's there, but they're ours. But they've given it up and they've become the bright-faced. very bright face, very clean. And one more, I these were so enchanting and intoxicating, I had to read three of them. So this is a room conversation in 1971 in San Francisco. And he says, suppose I am an Indian, I came to your country. Why I come to your country in this old age? That is service, to give Krishna consciousness. That's the best service. Without any distinction of caste, creed, country, color, no. Everyone should have Krishna. This is the best service. Go everywhere. That is the best service. And actually, they are now feeling, because... So he's speaking about Indians now. Because they are Indians, even in India, they were so many devotees of Krishna. So this was just after Srila Prabhupada brought the devotees for the first time to India, a big bunch of devotees. It's not the first time, but the first time they had all these pandals. So he's like, in these 1971 lectures, you can feel Srila Prabhupada, if you listen to them in order, you can feel Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, because he saw thousands and tens of thousands of people of coming to see the devotees, these bright faced, their boys, the bright faced boys, taking up Krishna consciousness. So he's so proud of it. So even in India, where there are so many devotees of Krishna, but when they saw these American devotees are so nice, 30,000 people were coming daily. And what is our magic? This man was asking me, Swamiji, what magic you have got? And I have got this magic, that I don't tell lie. I don't make this rascal is God, that rascal is God. God is Krishna. That is my magic. I don't bluff people. Here is God. See God. Be with God. Serve God. That is my business. So quite, you feel that, wow, that's exactly, I think, each and every one of us, we feel that we've had also some transformation in our lives, that we were those dirty, we may not have been hippies, maybe some of you are old enough to still be a hippie. Some of us were in a generation right after the hippies, and some of us are much younger. But still, we are all into something that the material nature that was clouding us, that was burying us, practically speaking. So when we look at this, so now I wanted to kind of move into like understanding a transformation. How do these transformations take place? Devahuti is saying this took place by her husband, Kardama. And we are hearing how we are getting it from Srila Prabhupada. By his engagement of us in devotional service, we became, and he also had a phrase that he would coin, I've turned them from hippies to happies. And, you know, this was, because they were, again, there was moroseness. He saw the moroseness in the people in general. So how do we see that we've had transformation in our life, and we're seeing this transformation, and we can see different levels of that transformation. I mean, from the weeks before we actually made a commitment to take up Krishna consciousness, we were one person. And then after that commitment was made, we became like, I don't know if there was, you could even, you know, put it on a graph scale of like how much advancement we made in that one decision of our life. And then we may become complacent and we may become a little depressed, thinking, I've never made that much advancement and one single step since then. So how do I continue with a transformation? How do I continue that? Because now we've become accustomed to being, now we are the bright-faced, we are practicing Krishna consciousness regularly. So where's our next transformation? So those transformations take a little more effort, a little more attention on us, our parts. And so there's, you know, and again, this is not new or foreign. This is something Rupa Goswami has understood, and that he understood that it begins from a little faith. We practice Krishna consciousness. We associate with devotees. We feel some of this dirtiness from our past activities kind of flowing off and departing. And then we start to become fixed. And so he's seeing, Rupa Goswami is saying, yes, there's transformation at every step. What is it? Pratipadam punam ritaswadam. Every step, pratipadam, every step there should be a little bit more nectar to be had. Amrita swadanam. We bathe ourselves. And this is Lord Chaitanya's prescription and the Chaito Darpanam are in his Shikshasakam, his first verse. So many things are there. We chant the holy name. We're cleansing. It's a cleansing. We just went through hearing Devahuti's cleansing. How, you know, and again, I think it was like there were, she was not only dirty, but she was like caked with dirt. There was, and it was her austerities and her performances of service, she just neglected herself completely. But then she was bathed, the bathing. So again, these are descriptions of the Satya Yuga. And a lot of times we try to put an example like the life of Devahuti and Kardama. Okay, we could do that here right now, right? Well, it's a little different. It's not one-to-one. We take the lessons, and we take the lessons that Srila Prabhupada has given, and he always points out what are those things that are the lessons. But yeah, we don't expect people coming to Krishna consciousness to neglect themselves completely, to become dirty, to become, you know, in that state. But we see her transformation. We also see her entire journey through the ashrams. We don't see so much of her brahmacharya, although we see her coming before. We see a lot of Kardama Muni's brahmacharya, his great austerities, very much, you know, focused on the Lord. And then he goes into grihastha life, and then there's still some austerities going on for both of them now. But then we're about to read this whole new chapter of his life. And it's also shamshayam or chatmatkara. It also is very astonishing to hear how this couple, who are so accustomed to renunciation, that all of a sudden they're in this palace and traveling from one place to another, one mountaintop to another, all in the different realms of the universe even, and enjoying for, it's Prabhupada, and he translates them to many, many years. But I think there's a one point it says 100, it was 100 years. 100 years of this just enjoyment. And the word enjoyment was used over and over again. Both Kardama and Devahuti, they were in enjoyment. And then the Vanaprastha stage, then they went back to the hermitage. And she had the 9 children. And then Kardama was ready to take sannyas, but then she said, no, how can you do that? I must always be protected by either my father, my husband, or a son. I have no son. What am I going to do? So now another, okay, let's do some praying. They sat down, they did some praying, and that's the Vanaprastha, the husband and wife together. They're worshiping the Supreme Lord very diligently. And again, the words are used, many, many years. Doesn't say the amount of years, but it's many, many. Many, many years together in the Vanaprastha. And then Kapila was born, then Kardama Muni takes sannyas, and then again. So we see the transformation of them. And so we see our transformation as well. So we had that transformation. We became devotees, or we made vows, or we made determinations in our life that from now on I won't do this anymore. And it was quite fulfilling for us. It's quite fulfilling. But then how do we continue that? So I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, what are some methods by which we can continue a transformation? Because sometimes we do admittedly, we stagnate and we think, okay, I've made it to a certain level, I can practice, I can do this every day, okay, I can do it. But then where do we go from there? How do we make those things deeper? Because a lot of times if we continue doing the same thing day after day after day, you either go very deep into those things or they become like ritualistic and they don't have the full taste. Although there's still benefit from doing those things, but if we don't know, if we don't really think about them deeply or have opportunities to do that, to reacquaint ourselves. And that's why, you know, you see as devotees get older and older, they read more and more. It's not like, okay, I've read all the books, now what do we do? No, we read more and more, and then the more you become acquainted with the subject matter, the more you become, you pull things out again and again. And then, so where do we get our chatmakar, where do we get our astonishment from? It takes some effort. And so I've been a part of a number of retreats, and I know retreats are somewhat difficult, but a retreat doesn't automatically mean hundreds of people, although it can mean that. I find the more people, the more difficult it is for me. But if you're in a situation that is apart from your day-to-day, even if it's just for an afternoon or something, get away from the day-to-day, and especially get away from the new magician of the day, the little mobile device that is always astonishing us with every ding that goes off. It's something astonishing that we must look at, right? It's there, it's the distraction. But if we can get away from that for some time, and then just really focus on, not that I have to read a certain amount of material, but read some material that's going to go deep. How can I approach the same material that we read every day? Or how can I approach my chanting that I do every day and make it amazing, to make it astonishing, to make it an experience? And again, these are some practices you must, at least for me, I must do, because otherwise, yeah, it does become almost like starting the car of an engine. There's a little effort to turn that key, or now it's push button, right? So now you push a button and it starts. So there's a little effort, then the car's running, then there's practically no more effort in the running of that car. And I find sometimes my japa is like that. I gotta find the beads, where do I start and where am I at? And there's a little effort and I start chanting, and then all of a sudden the mind just like, it's my thinking time practically, you know. The mind just takes me away, completely separate from my japa. But the japa should be the pratipadam, the spunam ritam swadhanam, the chetodarpanam arjanam, all the different seven wonders of the seven chatmatkaras of the chetodarpanam verse. There are seven of them. Note, we all know this very well, but the first is chanting Krishna's names, cleanses the mirror of the mind, cleanses our mind. So our mind is always attracted to the phones, to this, to the news, to that. But then chanting should cleanse that, help us cleanse that. But when we get into that motor running chanting, where we let the chanting, and it becomes passive to us. It's almost like, it's like the running of the motor. It's just running, but it's not really doing anything. But if we let it cleanse the mind by hearing, just hearing the mantras, Bhava Mahadavagni, then what happens to that dirt? Some of that, once the dirt is removed from that mirror, then the great forest fire, Mahadavagni, can diminish. Our attraction to the devices, our attraction to the news, our attraction to the material energy, to magic and mysticism, all these things will subside. Shreya Karayava Chandika, the white, and again, this is really what I wanted to talk about, is this, the power or the magic of the holy name itself. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this magic. And he also writes in a very, you could say, a way to help us question. Because he has this song, and he, Krishna Nama Dara Kotobal. What power does the holy name possess? What power does it have? So you could just say, well, okay, this is a question. It's a question out there. What is the answer? And this Krishna Nam Dari Kotobal, this he's saying in astonishment. He's not saying it as, again, like the inflection of his voice is more like, Krishna Dama Dari Kotobal. What power? Because he's getting a taste for it. When a sufficient amount of the dust is cleansed by our chanting, and the forest fire of material existence starts to subside, then real taste, this blossoming taste begins to there. So when we think of our transformation, he's talking about that as well. Our heart, Vishaya Vishanale, Mora Chitta Sadadvale, Ravi Tapta Maru Bhumi Sham. The heart is constantly burning in the fire of worldly desires. So if we contemplate and we reflect upon that, is my heart, do we actually can understand these words of Bhaktivinoda? Do we actually feel some burntness of the material energies, of the material atmosphere? Kind of, you know, we're always a little bit in fear of it. What's going to happen next? What are they going to say next? Who's going to attack who next? So it's the whole world is like that. The whole world is covered in that. So we're burning in that fire. We're part of it. We're a community member of the world, you could say. So we're affected. We can't say we're not affected by it. We are affected by it. So we're constantly getting burnt, and then not only are we burning from that, but then there's the sun that is also beating down, and we know in Florida this power of the sun, Ravi Tapta, Tapta Maru Bhumi, the sun is burning down on us. But the holy name, when it enters the core of our heart, through the holes of my ears, so that's a statement. But it's also a prescription. How does it actually enter our heart? How does the holy name enter our heart? Is it just by the sound vibration? Yes, you could say that, but you actually have to hear it. Because we hear so many things. Like now I hear birds, I hear the fans, and we hear so many things, it's almost passive. So if our chanting becomes passive, then it's not going all the way to the heart. The heart, the attention to the holy name. We must hear the holy name. That's Srila Prabhupada's prescription. Just hear the mantra. Just hear the holy name. The holy name enters and it showers. We just had 2 days of, I hope everybody in Alachua County got the rain. We just got 2 days of rain, and like it's, you can hear just everything is like the grass is green again, and we hear the frogs, and we hear everything is like alive again. So because we were scorched, we were in the drought, and when we get the rain, when we get that nectar, it's and then he says, when that holy name speaks in my heart, and it moves to the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances in the form of transcendental sound, my throat becomes choked up and my body shivers and I can't remain still. So these are indications of how far I need to go, because this doesn't happen to me when I'm chanting. Although when I hear these words of Bhaktivinoda, I really am attracted to that. So how do we get there? We have to keep trying for another, a transformation. Not that we're constantly just at the first spray of Windex on our mirror. We have to start scraping some of that away, and so that some of these other effects of the holy name can happen, that white lotus of good fortune will bloom. And what is that? It not only reveals Krishna, it reveals our relationship with Krishna. Chakshedhare dina garma pulaka shabha. Then we get all the sattvaka bhava. We get the sattvaka, rivers of tears, perspiration, skin thrills with rapture, hair stand on end, complexion turns pale, our mind grows faint. These are things that would happen. And so the song goes on, but that's way past my ability to speak on it. I'm still in the first. I am burning in the forest, burning in the world of desires, and the sun is beating, and the sun is our time. Because the sun, every passing of the sun, every rising and setting of the sun, as Sukadev says, is just another day. So I'm burning, and the sun is telling me my time is running out, my time is running out, my time is running out. When am I going to transform more, transform into actually really tasting the holy name in this life? Because Prabhupada says, in this life we can do it. So that's a little bit on Devahuti's transformation and witnessing his yogic power, witnessing Kardama's yoga. And so this, again, we bring it back, Srila Prabhupada's magic, Srila Prabhupada's bringing of Lord Chaitanya's Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Sachi Sutta Priya Ati. Srila Prabhupada says, by the order of my spiritual master, I'm bringing the message of Lord Chaitanya to this Western world. And so we are very fortunate to be under his magic power, his magic wand. He says he doesn't have magic, but it was magic to us because we all transformed. We could just imagine where we would be without it. So thank you very much. It is 8:45, and we must stop here for questions. Yes, Mataji?
Thank you so much for your inspiring class. The point you make of the holy name being the transforming agent, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
So, so important. At any time, we can just make that choice, you know, to get out of our routine, you know, whatever mechanical state,
yeah,
and really hear the holy name. I do have a question. You mentioned that Devahuti and Kardama Muni were in the Vanaprastha stage. However,
they will be.
Oh.
It's coming, yeah.
Well, what I mean is then they conceived a child in that Vanaprastha stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sati Yuga, you can do it.
Okay.
It's not completely following it, but if we look at their activities in different stages, so yeah, they were Grihastas, but they were practically living on...
Does Prabhupada call it Vanaprastha?
No.
Not at all.
No,
okay.
No,
but I can understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Yes, Panchagoda, Prabhu. The world must hear. We wait for the microphone.
When, let's say... someone gets bored by and he says, "Ah, oh, Ram," or "Haram," and just by saying the name of the Lord, they didn't really deeply meditate on it and or, you know, contemplate it. They kind of just, you know, expressed it in words, and there was sometimes some discussion about the potency of the holy name working anyway.
Yeah.
I just want to know about...
Yeah, the Ajamil.
You mentioned we shouldn't space out and just
put
it in the background and do other things while we're Ram, 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 you know.
Yes, both are true, though. The power of the holy name is there. That anybody, even when somebody says Pizzarama, I don't think they call Pizzaramas anymore, but Pizzarama, they're getting some benefit. Ajamil got benefit from calling his son Narayan, and extreme benefit. But what is it that we are actually searching for? What is it we want? We want love of Godhead. We want love of Godhead. Love of Godhead isn't by the passive chanting. Love of Godhead is found when you're deeply immersed in chanting and deeply immersed in understanding Krishna's lila, guna, rupa, his nama. That's where love of God, that's what we want, and that's what Lord Chaitanya is bringing. He wants, that's what, actually I do have one more quote that is kind of appropriate for this. Even Krishna becomes astonished, Chat Makara. He says, because he's trying to understand, how is it that Srimati Radharani loves me so unconditionally? He wants to understand it. So in the confidential reasons for his appearance, it said, Yate Moro Chatmakara, taking Chamatkara. Please forgive my Bengali, yes. I'm like a child when I say Sanskrit or Bengali, I'm sorry. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown and even Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which I am even amazed. Even Krishna becomes amazed by his own activities. In the Agasura, he is amazed. Vimshita. He is amazed. He's amazed at what? Not at Agasura. Agasura is just a material. He's amazed that the devotees had so much faith in him that they would go into this most dangerous condition just fully faithful of him. That amazed Krishna. And you could say, well, how can you amaze Krishna who knows everything? Then the next, little later in the chapter, Apara Kalita Purvakash Chatmatkara. Is that good? Did I pass? Goody. Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before, and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it like Srimati Radhika. And this is, Prabhupada says, this is from the Lita Madhava, spoken by Lord Krishna when he saw the beauty of his own reflection. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give this type of understanding of what it is to actually have love of God. It's not just, yes, I love God, I love him once a week, I just profess love of God. But love of God is complete immersion into his pastimes, into his understanding. And so, yes, the holy name is powerful at any level, and it can purify the stones, it can purify the trees and the birds, but it also is giving us entrance into this. But that doesn't come automatically. Is that good? Yeah. Okay. Here's comedy relief. Right, thank you very much.
You ready for this? So you grew up near Windsor, Connecticut, right?
Near Windsor, Willington, you remember.
Yeah, so it's not too far from Windsor, right?
It's not too far, no.
Right, well, there's a Pizzarama in Windsor.
There's a Pizzarama, still.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
my goodness.
That's why you're able to be here today and give class.
Maybe. It was the permeation. And, you know, me and my friends, Gargamuni, we did like pizza when we were kids. So maybe we went to Pizzarama.
Hari, I would quickly like to quote a Mahabhagavat. He is Shishimad Radha Govind Das Goswami Maharaj. This is from Kapil Devoti Sambad. Probably he gave in New Jersey. This is from his daily calendar, so 12th of September. With some devotees, it is seen that they keep chanting their rounds even during the Bhagavatam class. By doing so, however, they disrespect both the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. By doing these two things simultaneously, one is neither able to chant properly nor able to listen to the class carefully. Therefore, a devotee should not perform these two acts together. If a devotee is carrying out a limb of bhakti, he should do so in one-pointed way. Only when one limb is complete should he begin another. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Yeah, so more indication that we should be focused on one thing. You know, multitasking is good for applying to a job, but it's not good for, you know, our Krishna consciousness and our particular seva. I remember, well, I won't, there's no names, but I would see a devotee with an open Krishna book, with headphones, and his japa. You know, multitasking, I'm sure he got some benefit, but, you know, read, then chant, then listen, you know. But anyway, all of it, as Panchagoda said, everything is uplifting, as long as it's uplifting. But again, if we want what we want, if we can say, yes, I want what Lord Chaitanya is giving, I don't want just a nice life and a nice community. I mean, we may want that, and that could be satisfying. But if we really want what Lord Chaitanya is bringing, then it takes some focus, that takes some effort. There was another, yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, thank you for your realization. Is it possible to, this is just a side thought, is it possible to do two activities, like when I cook at home, I listen to a tape, or, I mean, I'm not focusing on the cooking?
Like I said, everything is possible. Everything is possible. And, yeah, when I am worshiping the deities at home, I am also listening to Prabhupada lecture. When I'm, certain parts of it I'm not hearing, and then certain parts I am hearing. So two things are going on. That's where I'm at this stage. I mean, because, you know, I also have a time factor. I have to go to work. So I have to have everything done. So I want my hearing. I want my, you know. So whatever is bringing you forward.
My realization in your class is that, you know, many people wait for retirement to come so they can, what they call it, the bucket list. They have all these things to do. As devotees, we're hoping that our chanting could get better. We have more time to read, deeper reading, because we're not, I wouldn't say distracted, but we don't have to work or we don't have to maintain what we're doing. And of course, with old age, of course, I just had my shatter old age experience. You're forced sometimes to take, you know, a different perspective in life, like on your japa. I sometimes address the deities, and I'm trying to think how I can improve and all this stuff. Reading is sometimes Krishna give us these things. Sometimes, like I myself, I was in the hospital for quite a while, and I saw perspective in life that I probably would not have gotten just if I keep doing my service, even at old age. And I never interacted with so many people from so-called material world. I had to see them, you know, so many hours a day, talk to them. And at one point I said, wait a second, I'm taking so much of their association. Let's see if I can give them some of my association. And I think my realization at that point was so deep. I was thinking I would get the same realization being in the, you know, doing my service. Then my husband was coming every day and he picked up on that. And what we did was he set up a whole altar. I didn't think I was going to be there so long. And he set up a whole altar. He brought the deities, he brought garlands, he brought cookies. Before I know it, our room was filled every day. Everybody said, oh, how is she doing today? You have any of those cookies? You know, and then, of course, then he saw it as a chance to give books out. And I felt like I preached so much in that little time I was in there than I would have done normally. So Krishna, sometimes he does these things to us. So, like you said, take us out, you know, you're doing the same thing every day. But sometimes he has to do these things, sometimes for advancement. Mm-hmm. First, I was very depressed that why am I being put here and why so long? And then when I had the realization, my whole life turned around. Mm-hmm. So many different different ways. So many people touched, and they even called me when I was out of the hospital to see how I was doing. But could I get another one of those books? My friend borrowed it, and I don't have one. So many ways my life changed when I was there. And I was wondering if sometimes Krishna has to do this to us, you know, just to wake us up. Sometimes you're going along thinking you're okay, you know, you're doing a little service, you're chanting your rounds, and we don't see the lessons Krishna is giving us sometimes because we're thinking, why me? Why do I have to be in this situation? Here I was serving you, I was doing... But then if you take a back seat, you get so much, you know, if you just, okay, Krishna, what is your plan?
Mm.
You know, how can I become a better devotee?
Yeah, thank you. I could tell there's a lot of feeling behind that. And when we see Krishna reciprocating, I mean, that's just like real affirmation of the relationship that we're building with Krishna. And that's our goal. We want our relationship with Krishna to be building and to be enhancing. And when he shows you things like that and shows where he is, where he's inserting himself in your life, that's very touching, and I'm sure it's quite foundational for you that, oh yeah, that the nishta, the firmness and your determination to serve him is there in your character now. Thank you for sharing. I wanted to, I have one more quote I didn't get to, but I really love this quote. I read it with some friends a few days ago, and it kind of sums this up. And this is in the Krishna book, the description of autumn. And, you know, so it's kind of the description of our early summer here. It's like when things are dry and then the rains come and things come up, there's a transformation. So this is just one little paragraph. During the rainy season, all living entities in the land, sky, and water become very refreshed, exactly like one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. We have practical experience of this with our students in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Before becoming students, they were dirty looking, although they had naturally beautiful personal features. But due to having no information of Krishna consciousness, they appeared very dirty and wretched. Since they have taken to Krishna consciousness, their health has improved, and by following the rules and regulations, their bodily luster has increased. When they are dressed with saffron-colored cloth, with tilak on their foreheads, and beads in their hands and on their necks, they look exactly as if they come directly from Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Thank you.